हरे माम सहना सहना सहे अंतर तेजस्वि नावये नमस्तु माये विशावाये शांति 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 ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सवितुरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Section 230 Vaishampayana said, Then the inhabitants of the forest of Kandava, the Danavas and Rakshasas and Nagas and wolves and bears and other wild animals, and elephants with rent temples, and tigers and lions with mane, and deer and buffaloes by hundreds, and birds and various other creatures, frightened at the falling stones and extremely anxious, began to fly in all directions. They saw the forest burning all around, and Krishna and Arjuna also ready with their weapons. Frightened at the terrible sounds that were audible there, those creatures lost their power of movement. Beholding the forest burning in innumerable places, and Krishna also ready to smite them down with his weapons, they all set up a frightful roar. With that terrible clamor, as also with the roar of fire, the whole welkin resounded, as it were, with the voice of portentous clouds. Keshava of dark hue and mighty arms, in order to compass their destruction, hurled at them his large and fierce discus, resplendent with its own energy. The forest dwellers, including the Danavas and Rakshasas, afflicted by that weapon, were cut in hundreds of pieces and fell into the mouth of Agni. Mangled by Krishna's discus, the asuras were besmeared with blood and fat. They looked like evening clouds. O Bharata, he of the Vrishni race, moved able, like death itself, slaying paisachas, birds, nagas, and other creatures by thousands. The discus itself, repeatedly hurled from the hands of Krishna, that slayer of all foes, came back to his hands after slaughtering numberless creatures. The face and form of Krishna, that soul of every created thing, became fierce to behold while he was thus employed in the slaughter of the paisachas, nagas, and rakshasas. No one among the celestials who had mustered there could vanquish in battle Krishna and Arjuna. When the celestials saw that they could not protect that forest from the might of Krishna and Arjuna by extinguishing that conflagration, they retired from the scene. Then, O monarch, he of 100 sacrifices, Indra, beholding the immortals retreat, became filled with joy and applauded Krishna and Arjuna. When the celestials gave up the fight, an incorporeal voice, deep and loud, addressing him of 100 sacrifices, said, Thy friend Takshaka, that chief of snakes, hath not been slain. Before the conflagration commenced in Kandava, he had journeyed to Kurukshetra. Know from my words, O Vasudeva, that Vasudeva and Arjuna are incapable of being vanquished in battle by anyone. They are Nara and Narayana, those gods of old, heard of in heaven. Thou knowest what their energy is and what their prowess. Invincible in battle, these best of old rishis are unconquerable by anyone in all the worlds. They deserve the most reverential worship of all the celestials and asuras, of yakshas, rakshas, and gandharvas, of human beings, kinaras, and nagas. Therefore, O Vasudeva, it behooveth thee to go hence with all the celestials. The destruction of Kandava hath been ordained by fate. Then the chief of the immortals, ascertaining those words to be true, abandoned his wrath and jealousy and went back to heaven. The dwellers in heaven, O monarch, beholding the illustrious Indra abandon the fight, followed him with all their soldiers. Then, when those heroes, Vasudeva and Arjuna, saw the chief of the celestials retreat, accompanied by all the gods, set up a leonine roar. And, O monarch, Keshava and Arjuna, after Indra had left the scene, became exceedingly glad. Those heroes then fearlessly assisted in the conflagration of the forest. Arjuna scattered the celestials like the wind scattering the clouds, and slew with showers of arrows numberless creatures that dwelt in Khandava. Cut off by Arjuna's arrows, no one amongst the innumerable creatures could escape from the burning fire. Far from fighting with him, none amongst even the strongest creatures mustered there could look at Arjuna, whose weapons were never futile, sometimes piercing 100 creatures with one shaft, and sometimes a single creature. Arjuna moved about in his car. The creatures themselves, deprived of life, began to fall into the mouth of Agni, the god of fire, struck down, as it were, by death itself. On the banks of rivers, on uneven plains, or on crematoriums, go where they did, the creatures dwelling in Khandava found no ease. For wherever they sought shelter, there they were afflicted by the heat. Hosts of creatures roared in pain. Elephants, deers, and wolves set up cries of affliction. At that sound, the fishes of the Ganges and the sea, and various tribes of Vidyadharas dwelling in that forest, all became frightened. O thou of mighty arms, let alone battling with them, no one could even gaze at Arjuna and Janardhan of dark hue. Hari slew with his discus those Rakshasas, Danavas, and Nagas that rushed at him in bands. Of huge bodies, their heads and trunks were cut off by the swift motion of the discus, and, deprived of life, they fell down into the blazing fire. Gratified with large quantities of flesh, blood, and fat, the flames rose up to a great height without a curling wreath of smoke. Hutasana, the hair on the crown of his head all fiery, with blazing and coppery eyes, flaming tongue, and large mouth, became filled with joy as he drank with the help of Krishna and Arjuna. Gratified greatly, Agni derived much happiness. It so happened that the slayer of Madhu suddenly beheld an asura of the name Maya escaping from the abode of Takshaka. Agni, having Vayu for his car driver, assumed a body with matted locks on head and roaring like the clouds, pursued the asura, desirous of consuming him. Beholding the asura, Vasudev stood with weapons upraised, ready to smite him down. Seeing the discus uplifted and Agni pursuing from behind to burn him, Maya said, "Run to me, O Arjuna, and protect me." Hearing his affrighted voice, Arjuna said, "Fear not." That voice of Arjuna, O Bharata, seemed to give Maya his life. As the merciful son of Prita said unto Maya that there was nothing to fear. He of the Dasara race no longer desired to slay Maya, who was the brother of Namuchi, and Agni also burned him not. Vaishampayana continued, protected from Indra by Krishna and Partha, Agni, gifted with great intelligence, burned that forest for 5 and 10 days. While the forest burned, Agni spared only 6 of its dwellers, namely Ashwasena, Maya, and 4 birds called Sharngakas.
Can you start at number 1 again? Because we're on a new book. Can you give you the thing? No?
This is the end of...
That's the end of book 1.
That's the end of the Shavaparva.
Yeah.
Okay, because Maya is going to build the Shabha. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so that's the end of the burning of the forest. And so now we start the Shabha Parva. So this is still in the Adi Parva, no?
No, Adi Parva's finished.
Adi Parva's finished. Okay, Adi Parva. So this is, okay, oh, I see. Okay, Shabha Kriya. So this is then the second of the next of the 18 main ones. And then this is now the Shabha Kriya Parva, means the sub-parvas within. Because there's 18 main parvas, Then there's 100 sadparvas, right? Because all the main stories are within there. So Shabdaparva will be one whole section, and then within that it'll have main stories. So those are the secondary parvas. Then after that it'll have the sections, and then from the sections it will have the verses. Right? Okay. Om. Okay. After having bowed down to Nara and Narayana, the most exalted male being, and also to the goddess Saraswati, must the Lord Jaya be uttered. Okay. Vaishampayana said, then in the presence of Vasudev, Mayadhanava, having worshipped Arjuna, repeatedly spoke unto him with joined hands and in amiable words. O son of Kunti, saved have I been by thee from this Krishna in spate and from Pavaka, fire, desirous of consuming me. Tell me what I have to do for thee. Arjuna said, O great Asura, everything hath already been done by thee, even by this offer of thine. Blessed be thou. Go whithersoever thou likest. Be kind and well disposed towards me, as we are even kind to and well pleased with thee. Maya said, right? In other words, he's saying, you've saved my life, let me do something for you. He says, no, just this kindness that you're offering, that's enough, like that. So now you can go wherever you like. Maya said, O bull amongst men, what thou hast said is worthy of thee, O exalted one. But, O Bharata, I desire to do something for thee cheerfully. I am a great artist, a Vishwakarma amongst the Danavas. O son of Pandu, being what I am, I desire to do something for thee. Arjuna said, O sinless one, thou regardest thyself as saved by me from imminent death. Even if it had been so, I cannot make thee do anything for me. At the same time, O Danava, I do not wish to frustrate thy intentions. Do thou something for Krishna. That will be a sufficient requital for my services to thee. Right? In other words, Arjuna, it's his duty. As a Kshatriya, if someone comes and surrenders to him, then he has to protect. So it's not that he's doing it and therefore he's going to get something back from it. Right? And even if he wasn't doing it in the beginning, even if it's offered, he's still going to stand on that. Otherwise, then it may look like what was done was done for business, right? But if he makes this stand, then it'll be understood it was done for Dharma. But seeing that, yes, he wants to offer something, he doesn't want to also make him feel bad. So he says, so it will please me if you do something for Krishna. Vaishampayana said, then, O bull of the Bharata race, urged by Maya, Vasudeva reflected for a moment as to what he should ask Maya to accomplish. Krishna, the Lord of the universe and the creator of every object, having reflected in his mind, thus commanded Maya, let a palatial sabha, as thou choosest, be built by thee. If thou, O son of Diti, who art the foremost of all artists, desire to do good to Yudhishthira the just. Indeed, build thou such a palace that persons belonging to the world of men may not be able to imitate it even after examining it with care. While seated within, examining it with care while seated within. O Maya, build thou a mansion in which we may behold a combination of godly, asuric, and human designs. So he's saying is that so is he being the creator of the universe, so taking that mood, then he's thinking, okay, this guy is also an artist, right? So he can create. So now you create something for Yudhishthira, a big assembly hall. But you make it so that no one can copy it, even if they sit there and look at it and study it, and also that it should be a combination of the godly, asuric, and human designs, right? Pancharatra gives so many designs that are there. There's certain, standard design, so in the heavenly planets they'll have things, and the asuras, because their mentality will have things that are dear to them. So make some unique combination. So he said, he gave him free will. It says, make it as you desire, right? Because he's the one that wants to do the service, so you do it as he desires. So, and it's understood he's being asked by Krishna to do something for Yudhishthira. He's been saved by Arjuna, so it'll be something pretty good. Right? Vaishampayana continued, having heard these words, Maya became exceedingly glad. Forthwith, he built a magnificent palace for the son of Pandu, like unto the palace of the celestials themselves. Then Krishna and Partha, after having narrated everything unto King Yudhishthira the just, introduced Maya unto him. Yudhishthira received Maya with respect, offering him the honor he deserved. O Bharata, Maya accepted that honor, thinking highly of it. O monarch of the Bharata race, that great son of Diti then recited unto the Pandus the history of the Danava Vrishaparva. Right? Remember who Vrishaparva was? Right? He's the head of the Danavas, and he's the one. His daughter is Sharmishta, right? Who married Yayati along with? Well, actually, she was a maidservant with. What's her name?
Devayani.
Yeah, okay. Devayani. Okay. And so then. So Vrishaparva, he's the head of the Danavas. He's the big king. So he comes as Jarasandha, right? That I remember. So he was very, very big. Okay. Also, we notice that Yudhishthira is respecting Danava and Maya Danava. He, appreciated that. Thinking that honor highly of it. So that means he's accepting it, but in it he's appreciating the qualities of Yudhishthira, that he's behaving in such a way, doing such nice service and offerings like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
Called Maya Danava, it says he's a son of Diti?
I'm not sure why it's said here, because the Danavas are sons of Danu. I'm not sure, we'd have to check. So it's something maybe here, but he's known as Maya Danava, so it just may be that there's a mistake here. It's supposed to be Danu. Right? Because he mentions here that then, what's his name? Vrishaparva is also a Danava. Right? Okay. And that foremost of artists then, having rested a while, set himself, after much thoughtful planning, to build a palace for the illustrious sons of Pandu, agreeably to the wishes of both Krishna and the sons of Prita, the illustrious Danava of great prowess, having performed on an auspicious day the initial propitiatory rites of foundation, and having also gratified thousands of well-versed Brahmins with sweetened milk and rice. What is sweetened milk and rice?
Sweet rice.
Sweet rice, yes. Pretty good. A sharp kid there. Okay. Like that. Okay, so, and we have to remember, these are the demons, right? And they do the foundation ceremony, feed the Brahmins, do all this. So how does it sound when the devotees say, we don't care for all these things, and right? Even the demons follow them. Okay. Okay, and gratified thousands of well-versed Brahmins with sweetened milk and rice, and rich presentations of various kinds. Measured out a plot of land 5,000 cubits square, which was delightful and exceedingly handsome to behold, favorable for construction of a building well suited to the exigencies of every season, right? The distresses. In other words, each season has something that is good about it and something that's bad about it. Like in the winter, then the sun in the day is great, but the north wind is not. So you have to be able to block that. In the summer, then the day is very hot, so you need, your high ceilings and openings to create that chimney effect to take out the hot air. Each season has something that's nice about it, or like that. And then, so that will be brought out. What's not nice, it will be built in such a way that it corrects that, right? Generally what you'd see is kings would build two who had two palaces, the summer palace, the winter palace. One was built for summer because you want high ceilings and very open and all these different things. And then the winter one, you want a little bit more closed and everything and more warm and like that. But this one is one hall will do everything. It's not even built for two seasons, it's built for six seasons. That means it'll always be perfect in there, right? Not bad, right? Not bad. Okay, section two. Right, Shabbaparva, section two. The last one was section one, like this. Matter of mathematics, you know, it's a very, I say, highly developed science. You know, you take one away from two and you get one. Yeah, so that's pretty good. Okay. We learned a lot here. Okay, Vaishampayan, so 5,000 cubits. Okay, a cubit's 18 inches, so that means 5,000 cubits means 7,500 feet. It's 5,280 feet to a mile, right? So it's like 1.5 miles. It's about, I think, what is it? Two-thirds of a, let's see. So it'd be like 2 kilometers. 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers, like that. Yeah, that's what you're going to say, okay. So, not bad, not bad, okay? Your wife definitely could be proud of that one, right? Okay, Vaishampayana said, Janardhan, deserving the worship of all, having lived happily at Kandavaprastha for some time, right? It's been like over a year, and having been treated all the while with respectful love and affection by the sons of Prita, became desirous one day of leaving Kandavaprastha to behold his father. That possessor of large eyes, under whom was due the obeisance of the universe, then saluted both Yudhishthir and Prita, and made obeisance with his head under the feet of Kunti, his father's sister. Thus revered by Keshava, Prita smelled his head and embraced him. The illustrious Rishikesh approached his own sister, Subhadra, affectionately. With his eyes filled with tears, he spoke unto her words of excellent import and truth, terse, proper, unanswerable, and fraught with good. Terse, unanswerable. So they were just nice things to say. You didn't have to give an answer back. And terse means concise, to the point. Didn't waffle on here and there and all that like that. The sweet speech Subhadra also, saluting him in return and worshipping him repeatedly with bent head, told him all that she wished to be conveyed to her relatives on the paternal side. Bidding her farewell and uttering benedictions on his handsome sister, he of the Vrishni race next saw Draupadi and Domya. That best of men duly made obeisance unto Domya and, consoling Draupadi, obtained leave from her. So he's not just walking out, he's getting there, you know, taking everybody's permission and everything like that. Then he's going. Right? Then the learned and mighty Krishna, accompanied by Partha, went to his cousins, surrounded by the five brothers. Krishna shone like Chakra in the midst of the celestials. He whose banner bore the figure of Garuda, desirous of performing the rites preparatory to the commencement of a journey, purified himself by a bath and adorned his person with ornaments. The bull of the Yadu race then worshipped the gods and Brahmins with floral wreaths, mantras, I think it's garlands, but whatever, mantras, bows of the head, and excellent perfumes. Having furnished all these rites, that foremost of steady and virtuous persons then thought of setting out. The chief of the Yadu race then came out of the inner to the outer apartment, and issuing thence he made unto Brahmanas, deserving of worship, offerings of vessels full of curd and fruits and parched grain, causing them to pronounce benedictions upon him. making unto them presents also of wealth. He went round them. Went round them means? Yeah, he does pradakshina, right? Circumambulates. Okay. Then ascending his excellent car of gold, endued with great speed, and endowed with banner bearing the figure of Tarksha, is Garuda, furnished also with mace, discus, sword, his bow, Sharnga, and other weapons, yoked thereunto his horses, Shaivya and Sugriva. He of eyes like lotuses, set out at an excellent moment of a lunar day of auspicious stellar conjunction. Yudhishthira, the king of the Kurus, from affection, ascended the chariot after Krishna, and causing that best charioteer, Daruka, to stand aside, himself took the reins. Right? We remember that Yudhishthira is very excellent at driving chariots, right? But here it's also just out of respect and out of affection. Then he's driving the chariot. In other words, he'll drive it, you know, to the edge of the town. Arjuna, also of long arms, riding on that car, walked around Krishna and fanned him with the white chamara, furnished with a handle of gold. The mighty Bhimasena, accompanied by his twin brothers, Nakula and Sahadev, and the priests and citizens, all followed Krishna from behind. Keshava, that slayer of hostile foes, followed by all the brothers, shone like a preceptor, followed by his favorite pupils. Then Govinda spoke unto Arjuna and clasped him firmly, and worshipping Yudhishthira and Bhima, embraced the twins. Embraced in return by the three elder Pandavas, he was reverentially saluted by the twins. After having gone about half a yojana, 2 miles, half a yojana would be 4 miles, Krishna, that subjugator of hostile towns, respectfully addressed Yudhishthira and requested him, O Bharata, to stop following him further. Right? Govinda, conversant with every duty, then reverentially saluted Yudhishthira and took hold of his feet. But Yudhishthira soon raised Keshava and smelt his head. King Yudhishthira the Just, the son of Pandu, having raised Krishna, endued with eyes like lotus petals, and the foremost of the Yadava race, gave him leave, saying, Goodbye. Then the slayer of Madhu, making an appointment with him about his return, in words that were proper, and preventing with difficulty the Pandavas from following him further on foot, gladly proceeded towards his own city, like Indra going towards Amaravati. Okay, so in other words, you know, saying when he would return, then only then he left. Otherwise, you know, if he didn't say, then they probably wouldn't let him go. Right? Out of the love and affection they bore him, the Pandavas gazed on Krishna as long as he was within sight, and their minds followed him when he got out of sight. Soon Keshava of agreeable person disappeared from their sight, unsatiated though their minds were with looking at him. Those bulls amongst men, the sons of Prita, with minds fixed on Govinda, desisted from following him further and unwillingly returned to their own city in haste. Krishna in his car soon reached Dwarka, followed by that hero Satyaki. Then Sori, the son of Devaki, accompanied by his charioteer Daruka, reached Dwarka with the speed of Garuda. Vaishampayana continued. In other words, just there formally they went very slow, but as soon as then they left, then they go at the speed of, you know, basically the speed of wind. So they get there quite quickly. Vaishampayana continued. I think Garuda can though fly at the speed of mind, but you know, whatever. His horses can do either, so it's not a problem. Vaishampayana continued. Meanwhile, King Yudhishthira of unfading glory, accompanied by his brothers and surrounded by friends, you want the fan? Accompanied by his brothers and surrounded by friends, entered his excellent capital. that tiger among men, dismissing all his relatives, brothers, and sons, sought to make himself happy in the company of Draupadi. Keshava also worshipped by the principal Yadavas, including Ugrasena, entered with a happy heart his own excellent city. Worshipping his old father and his illustrious mother, and saluting his brother Baladev, he of eyes like lotus petals took his seat. Embracing Prajumna, Samva, Nishata, Charudeshna, Gada, Aniruddha, and Banu, and obtaining the leave of all the elderly men, Janardana entered the apartments of Rukmini. Section 3. Vaishampayana said, "Then Mayadhanava addressed Arjuna, that foremost of successful warriors, saying, 'I now go with thy leave, but shall come back soon. On the north of the Kailash peak, near the mountains of Mainaka, while the Dhanavas were engaged in a sacrifice on the banks of Vidhu Lake, I gathered a huge quantity of delightful and variegated vanda, a kind of rough materials, composed of jewels and gems. This was placed in the mansion of Vrishaparva, ever devoted to truth. If it still be existing, I shall come back, O Bharata, with it. I shall then commence the construction of the delightful palace of the Pandavas, which is to be adorned with every kind of gem and celebrated all over the world." Right? So there's a, if he says it's a huge quantity, then you can imagine, you know, how much is there. So it's enough that he's going to use that to adorn the hall and everything, right? Because lamps you do with jewels, like that. Either use the kind of jewels that are these Suryakanti and these, that they themselves give off lamp, or you put jewels in such a way that when you put the lamp there, then they will reflect the light and make it more bright. Right? And these are just the jewels on the wall, right? no, this side. There is also, I think, O thou of the Kuru race, a fierce club placed in the lake Vindu by the king of the Dandavas, after slaughtering therewith all his foes in battle. Besides being heavy and strong, and variegated with golden knobs, it is capable of bearing great weight, of slaying all foes, and is equal in strength unto 100,000 clubs. It is a fit weapon for Bhima, even as the Gandiva is for thee. There is also in that lake a large conch shell called Devadatta, of loud sound, that came from Varuna. I shall no doubt give all these to thee. Having spoken unto Partha, the Asura went away in a northeasterly direction. On the north of Kailash, in the mountains of Mainaka, there is a huge peak of gems and jewels called Hiranyashringa. Near that peak is a delightful lake of the name of Vindu, probably Bindu. Bindu. Bindusarova. Okay. There on its banks previously dwelt King Bhagarati for many years, desiring to behold the goddess Ganga, since called Bhagarati after that king's name. On its banks, O thou best of the Bharatas, Indra, the illustrious lord of every created thing, performed 100 great sacrifices. There for the sake of beauty, though not according to the dictates of the ordinance, were placed sacrificial stakes made of gems and altars of gold. Right? In other words, you didn't have to put those. It was just, they did it as extra just for making it look nice. Right? So the stakes, when you stake out the sacrifice, instead of using like bamboo stakes or that, then they use jeweled gold stakes and stuff. And the altars were gold, because otherwise you can just make them out of bricks and clay. Generally the yajnas are all very simple like that. After performing these sacrifices, the thousand-eyed lord of Sachi became crowned with success. There the fierce Mahadev, the eternal lord of every creature, has taken up his abode after having created all the worlds, and is there, and it is there that he dwelleth, worshipped with reverence by thousands of spirits. There Naranarayana, Brahma and Yama, and Stanu, the fifth, perform their sacrifices at the expiration of 1,000 yugas. Right? What happens at the expiration of 1,000 yugas?
Dissolution?
Yes, the day of, end of the day of Brahma. So that means this place doesn't become destroyed. Huh? So who is doing that? Okay, Naranarayan, so they do, means Krishna and Arjuna, they do yajnas there. Lord Brahma, Yamaraj, and Stanu. Who's Stanu?
The fifth Rudra.
The fifth Rudra. Where does he sit? You haven't done this in the Boston stuff. You didn't do? Where's Stanu?
Southeast.
Southeast. Close. That's Agni.
Southwest.
Southwest. Is that an educated guess or just a wild one? Yeah, because he's in this corner. So that's where it means that's where all the biggest weight is. Right? And then Stanu means that's also the place generally in the city of like the Kshatriyas, like that. So that gives that, this corner is the control, and the northeast, that's where the Brahmins are, that gives the influence. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. Diti?
Nriti.
Nriti. I think so. I think they're the same. Like that. In other words, it's one of the Rudras. He's an expansion of Lord Shiva. So he has the same qualities and character, but somehow or another, he's the one that takes part in this whole Vastu thing. Because all the deities sit in their different directions, you know, so. Vishnu's in the northeast, then the sun god in the east, or Indra's in the east, then you have Agni in the south, southeast, Varuna in the south, Stanu in the southwest, west is Varuna, northwest is Vayu, like that, there's Guru, like that. Then you have Kuvera in the north, like that. So these are the, like that. So that way then Indra, how you say, Indra, Varuna, Yama, and Kuvera, the Dikpals, like that. But these others are all that have directions. Then Brahma's up, and who's down?
Bali Maharaj.
Like that. So that way you get the 10 directions. Right? There's not another direction like that. Like that. Don't let the nuclear physicists fool you. Okay. There, for the establishment of virtue and religion, Vasudeva, with pious devotion, performed his sacrifices. Performed his sacrifices extending for many, many long years. There were placed by Keshava thousands and tens of thousands of sacrificial stakes, adorned with golden garlands and altars of great splendor. Going thither, O Bharata, Maya brought back the club and the conch shell and the virtuous, various crystalline articles that belonged to King Vrishaparva. The great Asura Maya, having gone thither, possessed himself of the whole of the great wealth which was guarded by Yakshas and Rakshasas. Bringing them, the Asura constructed therewith a peerless palace, which was of great beauty and celestial make, composed entirely of gems and precious stones, and celebrated throughout the three worlds. He gave unto Bhimsena that best of clubs, and unto Arjuna the most excellent conch shell, at whose sound all creatures tremble in awe. The palace that Maya built So now it'll give a whole description of the palace. Okay, so that will leave for then Monday. Okay, so end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya Nita Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaya Nita Gaura Prinayati.
Please be very cautious.
means this is where they're performing sacrifice. It doesn't mean that they live there in Bhakti Kashram. That's where they do their austerities and everything like that.
I'm noting things as you speak.
Oh, okay. It means you don't need to overemphasize, you know, him being totally in ecstasy over all the fat.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Because some of the things you're bringing, it's brought out that some of those things, it repeats the same thing. So then, you know, the most poetic or a combination of that then could be taken out. I mean, it could be... Ooh, to keep this.